Verses 16 to 25, it can be found on page 1197 of your church Bibles. Sorry, 1196. Okay, James chapter 1, starting at verse 16. Don't be deceived, my brothers, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does.
Thank you. So on that big page there, you'll see that our focus, our theme for the year in 2017 is the Bible. I know, radical, isn't it? And you might be sitting there thinking, don't we always focus on the Bible? Yes, we do, but we're going to do it in an even more explicit and intentional way in the year ahead, and I'll be talking about some of the ways a little bit later. But our focus is the Bible, and the byline is take a closer look. Take a closer look. Devote yourself more, even more, to the Bible. Have it at the heart of all your relationships. The heart of your relationship with God, the heart of your relationships with other believers, and the heart of your relationships with unbelievers as well. Having the Bible at the heart of all those relationships. Now, I want us to just spend a few minutes looking back. We saw this photo before, 20 years ago, the 1997 edition of Southern Cross. And next to that, you'll see the 2016 edition. So effectively 20 years later, and you might notice a difference. And the main difference you'll notice is that though there are only 39 people in the first photo, there are 266 people in the second photo. I counted them. And the big photo, the photo of lots of people, doesn't tell the full story either, because across the 20 years of the life of our church family, many people have been part of our church family and continue to follow Jesus and have been blessed through their years as part of us as a church family, continue to follow Jesus wherever they are now. And that's wonderful. And there are hundreds of people included in that number. And the question you've got to ask, the question I've got to ask, I mean, it is striking. Just look. It's Southern Cross Presbyterian Church. They are both Southern Cross Presbyterian Church. How did it happen? The motto of this group here was ordinary people following an extraordinary God. And I just want to affirm that. They are very ordinary people. You know some of them. And they knew they were following an extraordinary God. And I like that motto. It's a good one, isn't it? Because it means their confidence was not in themselves. Their confidence was in God to give the growth. And that's the answer to the question. How did it happen? Well, God did it. God made that church grow into the church it is today. That's 20 years ago. Now, next year, it also happens to be the 200th anniversary of Australia's oldest organisation. The Bible Society in Australia is Australia's oldest continuing organisation. It's apparently 1 month older than the oldest bank continuing in Australia that was actually set up by many of the same people. Westpac, if you're interested. 200 years ago, a group of men and women were convinced that they could do something to keep the Bible central to the life of this new nation and actually to provide the Bible to places where it was not yet available. And the wonderful thing about the Bible Society is... that they continue to be on about the Bible. Now, that might sound kind of, well, of course, but it's not of course. In fact, plenty of organisations that 200 years ago started out as firmly Christian organisations are now no longer. They either have ceased to exist or they have totally lost their focus. They couldn't be called Christian in any true sense of the word. But the Bible Society has stuck to its guns through good times and bad in 200 years. This is what you can read on their website about their 200th anniversary. 2017 is set to be a year of celebrating the Bible. Next year marks the 200th anniversary of Bible Society Australia, but we want the focus to be on the Bible, not just on the celebration. We're Australia's longest living organisation, the CEO Greg Clark says. But we want everyone who supports the scriptures to celebrate. We want to serve the spread of the word. Isn't that great? An organisation that over 200 years has been clear about their mission and what they're on about. And that is God's word, the Bible, available to as many people as possible. 2017 is also, as I've already mentioned, another anniversary. It's the anniversary of a day 500 years ago when a German monk by the name of Martin Luther went to this church door and he nailed up an invitation. It's called the 95 Theses. Doesn't sound like much of an invitation, does it? But it was 95 concerns that he had about the way that the church operated. And it was an invitation to a discussion, to a debate, really, about those things, those matters. And even though it's hard to say, scholars or historians say that that was basically the start of what we know of as the Reformation, a time in the history of the church and of the world where the Bible came back to take authority in the church, rather than the church saying that it had authority over the Bible, which is what had happened. Above all else, the Reformation was the time when the Bible was given its proper place in the church again. And God transformed his church through that rediscovery, through the Bible being recovered. As Martin Luther reflected 5 years after he did that, when it was still very much all guns blazing in the Reformation, figuratively speaking, he said this. He said, "I opposed indulgences and all the papists," that's some of the issues, the Pope and some practices, "but never with force. I simply taught, preached, and wrote God's word." One of the things he did was translate the Bible into German, from Latin into German, to make it accessible for the people. "Otherwise, I did nothing. And while I slept or drank Wittenberg beer with my friends, Philip and Amsdorf," I told you, beer, Reformation. Amsdorf sounds like a beer, doesn't it? It was actually one of his friends. The word so greatly weakened the papacy that no prince or emperor ever inflicted such losses upon it. I did nothing. The word did everything," said Luther. "I did nothing. The word did everything." Extraordinary people following an extraordinary God. Luther had such great confidence in the power of God's word to change a heart and to change a life, to reveal the truth. that he could say, even though he did so much, I did nothing. The Word did everything. Folks, that's a confidence we need to have today. We need to have that kind of confidence in the Bible. And I'm going to keep saying the Bible all year. I'm not just going to say the Word or the Gospel or whatever, because I want to remind you that there is a book, a physical thing that you're supposed to pick up and open up and read and study and put at the heart of your life, because it's the Word of God, the Bible, that brings life, that gives life. And we saw it in that passage that we had read for us this morning. The Word of life. Have a look, for example, at verses 16 to 18. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, including God's Word, the Bible. It comes from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. God is the maker of everything. He made the sun and the moon. He's not something who is under the sun, someone who is under the sun and the moon and therefore casts a shadow. He made it all. And every good gift comes from him, including his Word, the Bible. And he chose to give us birth through the Word of truth. The only way you can know God, the only way you can be born again, which is necessary to have your old self die in its sin and to receive new life, is through the Word of truth, the good news of Jesus Christ that comes to us through the Bible. That is where life comes from. And he chose to give us birth through the Word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. The beginning of a great harvest. That's God's plan. A harvest that continues to happen through the same means as the Bible is opened up by more and more people, and more and more people discover new birth and new life through the good news of Jesus. Now, if that's happened for you, if you are born again, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then you'll be able to remember a time, or perhaps times, when you really felt alive in Jesus, when you were excited to open up your Bible, when there were parts of the Bible that were so precious to you that you got a tingle down the back of your neck when you went to open your Bible, because you were expecting that God would speak to you when you did. And he did speak to you. Folks, God still speaks to you. God still speaks to you, and it is possible, if you are not feeling that excitement about your relationship with God at the moment, it is possible for that to be rejuvenated in exactly the same way that it had life in the first place, and that is by opening God's Word expectantly, humbly, anticipating that he will speak to you every time you open it and read it. And it's really important to remember that. It's really important to remember that our salvation through the Word, through the Bible, isn't something that, you know, is kind of like a framed picture on our wall that we're just kind of, that happened once. The Bible can continue and must continue to save us. Have a look a little bit further down. Verse 21 says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. That's good to remember. You know, when it comes to following Jesus, there's always a putting off and a putting on. What's the stuff that you need to get rid of? What's the moral filth? It's pretty striking language. But the rubbish that you consume, that you delight in at the moment instead of God's Word, what needs to go? Get rid of that and humbly accept the Word planted in you, which can save you. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? I mean, he's already said that he chose to give us birth through the Word of truth. They're already born again. So there's that sense in which they've already been saved through the Bible, through the Word of truth. But he says that it can save you. And that's not uncommon in the Bible. For God to speak about salvation as something that has happened in the past, something that is continuing to happen in the present, and something that will happen in the future when Jesus returns. And we've got to remember that we are on a journey. And if we desert the Word of God, which brings life, then we are putting ourselves in real jeopardy. In real jeopardy. of actually not being saved when Jesus returns, discovering that we are not saved because we didn't love God. We didn't love and revere his word. We didn't respect the life that came through his word, that word which has been planted in us and is meant to grow in us. A seed that's planted has to be watered so that it can grow. So we don't leave the Bible on the shelf. We don't leave it sitting closed anywhere, but we open it up and we read it because it can save us. So we've got to open up the Bible continually, regularly, expectantly, humbly, so that we're listening. We're listening to God's voice, his word for our life. And in a minute, I'm going to make a few suggestions about how we could do that more and better. But there's a challenge that we need to hear from this passage first, and that is that listening is not enough. Listening isn't enough, and the reason is because God's word is God's word. And we're to receive it humbly. We're to receive it understanding that it comes to us with authority. It's meant to rule. It's meant to rule over our lives, each one of us personally, individually, and it's meant to rule over our life as a church. And so when we read the Bible, we're to do the Bible. We're to do what it says. Have a look at verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. It's easy, isn't it, to do that? It's easy to read the word and think, did it? As in, I read it, and actually not obey it, not follow it. Don't deceive yourself. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. He tells that little story about the man who goes and looks at himself in a mirror. Do you look at yourself much in the mirror? I try not to. But you usually have to tidy up after shaving or something in the morning a bit. And looked in the mirror this morning. Made sure I did these little buttons up here. I often forget those. Saw that there's a few grey hairs growing there, just the odd one, not like Graham. But they're coming. Or Jeff. I'll stop there. Now imagine just walking away from the mirror and not knowing who you were. That's really what it's saying. A mirror tells you who you are physically. It tells you who you are. It's only the Bible that shows you accurately, in a perfect image, who you are. Who you are. And here's the good news. And I mean the good news. It tells you that if you are born again, then you are free. You are God's loved, free child. Have a look. Verse 25, the man or woman, of course, who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. The perfect law that gives freedom. That is a startling description, because elsewhere in the Bible, we discover that the perfect law, or the law of God, actually condemns us. It stands against us. It holds us in chains because we can't keep it. But the perfect law is the law of Christ. That is the rule that says if you simply, humbly trust in Jesus for your salvation and new birth, then it is yours. And you are free. Free from the penalty of sin. Free from the power of sin. That's who you are. Look in this mirror. Discover who you are. And then do it. Live out of that reality, because that is reality. It's easy to listen to all sorts of other voices, isn't it, about who you are, and to live out of those lies, those voices. No. look into the perfect law that gives freedom, this wonderful mirror that tells us who we really are, that's where life is to be found. And continue to do so. You notice that? And continues to do this. Keep doing it. We need to keep going back to this mirror, God's word, to see who we really are. Now, I've run out of time. But in that middle section on that poster, which you're going to stick up on your wall when you get home, it's got the little logo at the top for the year 2017, the Bible, take a closer look. And then there are three headings under that. It says personal and some ideas for getting the Bible to the heart of your relationship with God. Then it says community, which is a word that we use as shorthand here for life in the church family. Opportunities there, ways that you can make the most of the Bible, make sure it's at the heart of our life together as a church family and your part in it. And then the third is mission, which of course is about our relationships with our friends who don't know Jesus. I don't have time to go into those things in detail. Most of them should be fairly obvious. Here's something else that ought to be obvious. I suspect if you're not doing many of these things now, then the only way you will start doing them is if you make time for them. Every single one of them is going to take time. And so perhaps the first thing is working out how can you make time. You can make excuses, but don't do that. Make time to have God's word at the heart of your relationship with God, with each other, and with the world. Of course, I'm only just scratching the surface in terms of different ways to get the Bible into your life. But there's a few. And throughout the year, we're going to be encouraging one another to be doing those things and many more things, or at least a selection of those things, so that God's word, the Bible, has its rightful place in our lives, so that we're listening and doing it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, the Bible. It is such a precious gift, such a perfect gift from you, our perfect Heavenly Father. Thank you for giving it to us. Sorry for the fact that we don't treasure it as we should. And in so doing, we don't treasure you as we should. We don't treasure Jesus and his gospel as we should. And we don't treasure our friends as we should. We don't treasure each other as we should. It's such a dumb failure of ours. So please break into our hearts, convince us of the value of the Bible, that it is your word of truth, which gives us new birth and which can save us and which can save the world. Father, with that confidence in you and in your word, as we head into 2017, we ask that you would do the work, that you would give the growth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to finish with a song. I don't know which one, the last one, which